Bibles, once again, we're going to be turning to the book of 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter number 29. Today we'll be looking at verses 10 and 11. As we began to start out this message last week, we began speaking about the restoration of prayer. We began to speak about the restoration of prayer, and we talked about the pathway to revival. What's it going to take for us to experience a Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival? We started off just by making a very short mention of this, that revival has to begin with this number one, repentance. And it's where that you understand that you're a sinful person and you have sinned against a righteous and holy God after your salvation experience, and you get your heart where it needs to be with God. And you say, well, what's that mean? It means simply this, that right now the Holy Spirit of God is telling you and nudging you about certain things in your life that you know is not pleasing to God. And that's the kind of things that we need to get rid of. We need to repent, throw them away, do a 180-degree turnaround from where we were serving the world to back to serving the Lord. But after we take care of repentance and throwing out those sinful thoughts and things and actions in our life, that we ought to get down to this business of the restoration of prayer. And we looked in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and we looked at verses 1 through 9 last week, and we saw that very early on, King Hezekiah recognized that he was going to move Judah into revival, and was going to require a return back to prayer. And we said last week, and we repeated again this week, that it's almost impossible for an individual or impossible for a church to experience a real revival that does not have a vibrant prayer life. We talk about prayer. We preach about prayer. We hold seminars about prayer. Our theme for this year is be in prayer. Be the church. Be in prayer. But yet, guess what? We have all these things remind us to pray, but yet majority of Christians do not even pray. And we talked about how we see this in our great nation, and we sent mixed messages about the importance of prayer and how that we would pay a chaplain for the U.S. Senate and a chaplain for the U.S. House of Representatives, but yet still we won't allow a teacher to stand up and read the Bible or offer a word of prayer even in our schools. So as we thought about this restoration of prayer, and if you and I are going to have a real revival in the next week or two here at Sharon Baptist Church, we're going to have to begin with this idea of the restoration of prayer. And as we talked about that, we said, first of all, that if we are going to have a restoration of prayer, we're going to have to do this. Number one, we have to enter His presence. Enter into His presence. And verses 1 through 3, we talked about the priority of prayer. And we said that one of the first things that Hezekiah did once his wicked father had passed off the scene and died was to put a priority on getting Judah back to God once again. And we did make mention that the Bible says that in the first year of his reign, in the first month, that Hezekiah opened up the doors of God's temple. And so we find that he didn't beat around the bush. He didn't say, well, let me just reign for a little bit and we'll get to it. He understood what God would have him to do, and immediately he began to line his people back up towards God. You see, Hezekiah knew that revival could not happen without making the relationship to God a top priority. And it's no different in our lives. You will not experience revival. Sharon Baptist Church corporately will not experience revival if you don't change the relationship that you have and make God a top priority in your relationship. And then we looked at in verses 4 through 9, we saw the purity in God's presence. And we noticed that Hezekiah wanted the priests and Levites not to just pray out of a command to pray, but out of a cleansed heart. And God has that same desire for you and I. And then we'll begin, as we closed out the message last week, we closed out with this idea of entering into His presence. And that's going to bring us to where we need to be for a few moments tonight. Let's look at verse 10 and 11 of our text in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And we're going to read verses 10 and 11, have a word of prayer. And I want us to look on this thought of the expectations of prayer. When we enter to His presence and we lift up our prayers to God, there's an expectation of our prayer. Let's read here in 2 Chronicles 29, verse number 10 and verse number 11, then have a season of the prayer. The Bible says, "Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that ye should minister unto him and burn incense." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for the next few moments, Lord, I pray that you would be a help to us. I pray, Lord, as I stand before you, Father, that as we would teach on this thought of the expectations of prayer, as we have already examined the presence of prayer. So, Father, I pray that you would help us this evening, Father. I pray you would help people understand that as we come before you and seek your will, Father, there are some things that we can expect because of this prayer. So, Father, I pray now that you would bless us and be a help to us. And we ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Notice in verse number 10, notice the promise of the prayer. It says, and I'll read it again, "Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us." So Hezekiah now sets an example for the priests, the Levites, and the nation of Judah by offering to start over again with a ministry of prayer. And Hezekiah wants the ministers to be in place again. He wants them to get back to where they need to be. He wants them to get back literally burning the incense. You see, the altar of incense was a symbol of prayer, and it was the prayers of God's people rising up before God. And so Hezekiah is encouraging the priests and the Levites and the nation of Judah to get back to the ministry of prayer. You see, it really wasn't important that they knew that God had something for them to say. It was also important that they have something to say to God. You see, oftentimes it's that way. Those that are in full-time ministry, those that are ministering on a weekly basis to people, and we understand that we know that God would have us to say something. And that's important, and it ought to be. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you ought to have something to say. If you're a soul winner, you ought to have a burden on your heart to win someone to Christ. If you're a preacher of the gospel, you ought to have something that God would have you to say. But it's equally important, and might I say even more important, that you have something to say to God. And that's where we find that King Hezekiah in this promise in verse number 10. I think D.L. Moody said this. He said, "I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher. Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray." And I found this to be true. If it's a man of God or a lady of God, listen, if you could learn to pray, you can speak what God would have you to speak. No matter whether it's soul winning, a Sunday school class, or a junior church ministry, I believe what D.L. Moody said to be true, it is true, that he never taught his disciples how to be great preachers, but how to pray. And if we'll be great prayers, my friend, we'll be great missionaries and great speakers and great workers for the Lord Jesus Christ. So Hezekiah sees this covenant to minister and to pray as a pathway to revival. You know what? We ought to see that as well. And Hezekiah saw it, and he said the nation of Judah is going to turn back to God. If the people are going to minister to God and for God, prayer is the pathway back to revival. We will never have a revival in our own personal lives or here at Sharon Baptist Church if it does not include this matter of prayer. But we find the promise in verse number 10, but then notice in verse number 11, notice the preparation as well. He says, "My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you." Get this, the Lord has chosen you. Let's read that one more time in case you don't understand it. The Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. You see, Hezekiah calls the priests and the Levites back once again to this ministry of prayer. And he's calling them to begin to minister, but only with prayer. He's saying this is where your ministry begins. And it's pretty obvious that Hezekiah believed in the power of prayer. And I wonder if all the children of God and all those who claim the name of Jesus Christ here at Sharon Baptist Church, I wonder if you feel the same way as King Hezekiah. I wonder if you believe in the power of prayer. I often think this, and maybe it's my carnal flesh, and if it is, please forgive me. But I think that one of the most important meetings that the church has is the Wednesday prayer and Bible study time, where we can gather together and corporately pray for one another. And I wonder if people won't come to pray for one another. They won't come to gather together to pray corporately for the church, for the salvation of lost souls, for our missionaries that we support by our grace giving. I wonder then, really, do they really care about Sharon Baptist Church? Do they really have a desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ if they don't care about the Wednesday prayer and Bible study time? Dr. Thomas Carter was an ex-convict, and he tells a story of his mother who constantly prayed for him. He said on one occasion while he was in prison, his mother received a telegram stating that he had died and asking what should be done with her son's body. His mother was stunned by the news. She opened her Bible and laid the message right down beside the Bible. She cried out to God and said, "Oh God, I had steadfastly believed that you are a rewarder of them who diligently seek you." And by the way, he is, and I believe that as well. She went on to say, "I felt sure that I would live to see my son Tom saved and preaching the gospel. You know, this wire tells me that he has died. Lord, which is true, the telegram or your promises to me?" When she rose up off her knees, having won the victory and gained the victory by the Holy Spirit of God, she sent a telegram back to the prison. "You must be wrong. My boy is not dead." And truly, a telegram came back. "Indeed, there has been a mistake. Tom Carter was alive." And guess what happened? Later on, Tom was saved and lived to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we think about prayer, prayer allowed Judah to participate in God's power to transform the nation. You see, God knew and King Hezekiah knew that if he was going to lead the nation of Judah back to where they needed to be, it would only become because of the prayer. And it was God's power would transform that great nation. Understand this, it's no different for us as well. If we are going to be the nation that God has risen up America to be, if you're going to be the family that God has chosen you and allowed you to be, if you're going to be the church that God has allowed us and requires us to be, it's only going to come as God's power transforms our church, our families, and this great nation. You see, the altar of incense stood right before the presence of God. That presence of God was demonstrated in the Ark of the Covenant. It was at this altar where the prayers arose, as the Bible said, a sweet-smelling savior to the very nostril of God himself. It was the prayers of God's people to himself. And this is where God's people made contact with God. And so, getting the priest to relight the altar of incense in the holy place would restore once again that people's connection to God in prayer. You see, they needed to be prepared to speak to God. The proper cleansing of the temple had to take place first, and that was done. Then a proper approach to God needed to be made. And only then, after all that was done, only then could incense be offered up and the prayers as the prayers of God's people to a righteous and a holy God. You know, our prayer allows us to connect to God's power. And as we come boldly before the throne of grace, we connect with God and we tap into the power that's available to us. Many of you heard of Martin Luther. In the year 1540, Martin Luther's good friend and assistant, Frederick, became sick and was expected to die within a very short time. From his bed, he wrote a tender farewell letter to his friend, Martin Luther. And when Luther received the message, he immediately sent a reply back. And the reply said this: "I command thee in the name of God to live, because I still have need of thee in the work of reforming the church. The Lord will never let me hear that thou art dead, but will permit thee to survive me. For this I am praying, that is my will, and that may my will be done, because I seek only to glorify the name of our Heavenly Father." know, we listen to those words and we think, man, he's pretty bold, wasn't he? It seems harsh and insensitive to our ears today, but God apparently honored that prayer request. And because he had already lost his ability to speak when Luther's reply came back to him. But very soon, within a week or so, he recovered and he lived 6 more years and died 2 months after Martin Luther had died. You see, prayer has always been and will always continue to be at the heart of every revival. And if we want to see revival here at Sharon Baptist Church, we must prepare ourselves with prayer. Prayer is the pathway to revival. So the question I have for you this evening, are you on that pathway? Are you on the pathway of prayer heading towards revival? Remember, it begins with repentance, and then it begins with prayer. Well, a pathway to prayer is the restoration of prayer. Someone said this as we close, revival comes from prayer and is sustained by prayer. How true that is. So I wonder if you're willing to restore prayer back into the place of your life where it ought to be. I wonder if you're willing to corporately pray together that Sharon Baptist can experience a Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival. You can, and it will happen as you enter into his presence, and you see the priority of prayer and the purity of prayer. And then because we enter into his presence, we have the expectations, the promise we have, and a preparedness that we must do. How bad do you want revival? Father, we come before you this evening and we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of looking at the last part of this Bible study. Oh, Father, I thank you that we can enter into your presence and we see the priority and the purity we must have. But then, Father, as well, you're so gracious. You give us some expectations of our prayer, the promise that we have, and the preparedness that we must do. So, Father, I pray that your church, your people individually and corporately here at Sharon Baptist Church, will begin, Father, afresh and anew, delving into this matter of prayer. Father, desiring to have prayer. Desiring to have a prayer, desiring to have a revival, Father, that they eat and sleep and drink this matter of true revival. Father, I pray as we're about ready to come out of this COVID-19 virus, Father, that we'll begin to understand that there's coming a time when we need to get out of our houses and get out of our places of safety, Father. There's still a lost and dying world that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father, would you revive our church? Father, make us what we need to be, Father. Let us understand that as we enter into his presence, place a priority on it and help us understand the purity that we need to have. And then, Father, we look forward to your promises and the preparedness that we must do. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness to us and your love to us. And Lord, help us down this pathway to revival. And we pray and ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.